Get into the message. Psalm 119, look at verse number 113 if you would. The Bible says in Psalm 119, 113, I hate vain thoughts, but thy law do I love. Thou art my hiding place and my shield, I hope in thy word. Depart from me, evildoers, for I will keep the commandments of my God. Uphold me according unto thy word, that I may live, and let me not be ashamed of my hope. Hold thou me up, and I shall be safe. And I will have respect unto thy statutes continually. Thou hast trodden down all them that err from thy statutes, for their deceit is falsehood. Thou puttest away the wicked of the earth like dross. Therefore I love thy testimonies. My flesh trembleth for fear of thee. I am afraid of thy judgments. Father, I love you this morning. And I thank you, Lord. I thank you. I thank you. I thank you from the depths of my heart for saving me, for calling me to preach, for giving me a pulpit to preach in, for giving us such beautiful and clean and nice facilities. But God, above and beyond any facilities, I thank you for the people that you've allowed me to pastor all these years. Lord, what a great blessing to see what you've been doing. And Lord, any man that would try to take credit for what's happening here is insane. Lord, it's been you. God, I understand that it's the power of this book that's actually slowly but surely, and I mean slowly, Lord, and I mean surely and steadily, building a church here. And Lord, with your help, God, with your help, I will do everything in my power to stay faithful to you and faithful to this book and patient, allowing you to grow this thing how, if, and when, and at the speed with which you want it to grow. All I ask you, God, is to give me the grace, the wisdom, the capacity to grow with it, to do the work that you've called me to do with joy in my heart and with a tender heart and with passion and with a fire in my soul and with a soberness to my spirit that would, Lord, enable me to be a great servant of the Lord Jesus Christ and a minister to God's people. And Father, I ask now as we look at this message, this passage of Scripture, and I do my best to share the message that I've prepared and that you've laid on my heart. I pray that this thing would come out of my heart, out of my soul, Lord, out of the Spirit of God within me, and that you'd minister to the people that are here and give somebody some help this morning. And bless this church, we ask, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Notice with me, if you would, at verse number 117, he says, hold thou me up, and I shall be safe, and I'll have respect unto thy statutes continually. I want to preach to you this morning on the subject from that verse of the Word of God keeps us safe. As I mentioned to you already, I'm a little bit of a OCD about safety. It's been a problem of mine a long time. I don't know why I'm such a weirdo about it, but I just get obsessive about it. I get actually so bad about it that sometimes I have to step back and breathe deep and relax. I've had to come to realize I can't possibly control everything. And that's a frustrating thing for me. I'll never forget when Brother Joe was staying at our house one weekend. He got up early in the morning to run up to the store because he kept us up late and cutting up and laughing all night long. Can't sleep when Joe gets going, you know, he's too loud. And so we were up late and I'm trying to sleep in a little bit because I was wore out over that weekend. And he tried to get up early to run up to the store. He was helping me work on some stuff around the house and he got locked out of the house. And he said, he was out there for a little while. And he said, complaining, when I finally figured out where he was and let him in, he said, I forgot you lock everything down like it's some kind of a fortress or something. I mean, there's cameras, there's dogs, there's alarms, there's multiple locks. It's just ridiculous around here. I'm OCD about safety. I want to keep my family safe, boy. I mean, that's one of the hardest things in the world, watching my daughter get in the car and drive off to Florida and going, okay, God, get them there safe, keep them safe. I pray every day for Anna and Reed. It used to be Anna, Sophia, Lillian, Ava. It started with Grace, by the way. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Every day. And now it's Anna and Grace. Sorry. Anna and Reed. Sophia, Lillian, keep them safe. I mean, I like safety. You know what worries me about being a pastor? I want the church to be safe. I don't like those surprises. You understand what I'm talking about? Those surprises. I want safety. I want security. I'll never forget. We were up north. Grace will remember this. And we were up at that state fair or something up north. Do you remember that? How old was Ava? Maybe 4? 2? She was tiny. Somewhere between 2 and 4. You don't know how old she was? About 4. We're all walking around. It's busy. It's crowded. And all of a sudden we're like, and I'm always counting. 1, 2, 3, 4. 1, 2, 3, 4. Like, literally, when Anna got married, I was like, we're missing something. When we're all the whole family's out together, I'm like, Anna's gone. Like, I got this 6 number, this 4 number, like, so burned in my head that I'm, like, literally having to adapt to the fact that I only have to count, like, 5 total now, right? 3 kids. And so we're doing a constant count thing, and we turn around, like, where's Ava? Grace is like, huh? I thought you had her. So I thought you had her. She was gone. And when I say she was gone, I mean she vanished like smoke. I don't know how long it was. I don't think either of us can honestly say how long it was because we went into this zone where seconds feel like years. But I'm telling you, this thing drug on for quite a while. We wound up splitting up and Grace is running that way and I'm running the other way and we're hollering her name to the point where people are like, are you like, Ava, Ava, Ava. We're looking in all these tents and everything else. And I literally went into this zone. Like I told Grace, I said, I'm about to start going. And you know how you hear all the stories about, you know, traveling circus and all this kind of stuff. And like, oh, there's a bunch of people with warrants out there and that's why they work for the circus because nobody can find them and they're hiding from the cops. And I'm like, I'm going to start going kicking in doors of RVs to see if my kid's in there. I mean, I was so over the top because I didn't know where she was and my wife didn't know where she was. And finally that little darling, she comes strolling down the path, the main path there, the main drag, and she's all like happy as she can be. She's looking around and we're just like, oh, Grace just started bawling. We tried to stay for a couple more minutes and thought about another ride. Grace is like, honey, I'm going to vomit. I can't stay here. We got to go. We got in the car, loaded the kids up, and literally we were pulling over at the side of the road. She's jumping out of the car to vomit. That's how bad it was. Yeah. Safety. You know what I'm talking about? Trying to keep your kids safe. Folks, there's something way more important in your life than physical safety. It's spiritual safety. I'm telling you this morning, your only safety is found in the Word of God, and you need that Bible to keep you safe. I know we're preaching a series on the Bible, and I know every week you're hearing it over and over again, the Bible, 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 but I don't apologize. And if you're getting bored with it, I might challenge you to think about it and pray about it. Maybe your heart's in the wrong place. I'm trying to tell you this morning, you need your Bible so bad that your safety in life, your safety before God, your safety for eternity rests in the Word of God. Notice in our text, first of all, the hope of the Word of God in verse number 114. He said, "Thou art my hiding place and my shield. I hope in thy Word." You know what is, you know what's underlying in there is I read the passage and I meditate on the passage and I think about the passage and I notice the theme. I notice what it is that the Lord uses and jumps out at me and then I start mulling it over and I think about it and I pray over it and I look at that passage and I see that verse that says, I hope in thy word. Think about that for a second. What is being kept safe if you have hope in the word of God? You know what's being kept safe? Literally, your emotions are being kept safe if your hope is in the Word of God. Do you realize this morning that you have a heart in you, you have human emotions in you, and life in a sinful, troubling world, the issues that come with life, create mental and emotional and psychological issues in people. And I'm telling you this morning, without the Bible, your heart won't be safe. Because life will discourage you. He says, I hope in thy word. You think about Elijah. Great man. Wasn't he? Yes, sir. I can't think of a better man than Elijah. A preacher said this week, he said he wasn't running from a woman when he wound up cracking and running and getting depressed and holing up there in the cave and wanting to die. He said he wasn't running from a woman. He was running from discouragement. Think about that for a minute. If somebody like Elijah Do you ever stop and think about what it means to cut off the 400 prophets of the head, the 450, I think it was, of the prophets of Baal, and then it looks like another 400 prophets as well, possibly over 800 prophets whose heads he cut off. You ever stop and think about that for a minute? I'm not trying to be gross or disgusting, but I think we don't meditate in the Bible when we read it. That is one ridiculously hardcore, tough prophet. Yes, to stand there. Now, please don't be too sensitive with me. I hate that I have to say that when people watch TV and look at the stuff you look at for entertainment purposes and then get offended by the preacher being too gross. But I want you to think about it for a minute because I want it to be real to you. You understand the sounds when that sword smacks against that flesh and is cutting through bone? You understand what happens when those main arteries in the neck, while he's chopping off their heads and the heart's still going like this and it's spraying blood? You understand that he had to be covered in blood by the end of that day? You understand how long it took him? You stand there and count to 800 like this. One. Next. Kneel him down. And he's screaming and fighting and pulling back and doesn't want... You get the job done. Two. Number three. I'm telling you, his arm was wore out by the end of that day. And there's people screaming and there's people crying and there's people wailing and there's children crying seeing their dad get killed and women crying seeing their husband get his head cut off. You are talking about one hardcore man that did that because God wanted him to do that under that Old Testament system, and they were corrupting the nation and getting the judgment of God coming. He was doing what he was supposed to do in that time frame. He was God's law officer in that day, dealing with what needed to be dealt with, and one tough man. And as brutal and tough as that man was, he cracks under a heart issue. He got depressed. You know what'll get you through the Christian life? Hope in the Bible. You know what'll get you through your depressed times? Because you will have times of depression, trust me. If you can hope in the Word of God and realize I might be down right now, I might be in a valley right now, it might not look good right now, I might be struggling in my marriage right now, I might have some derelict kids right now, I may have financial issues right now, but I got this book, and God always comes through, and I'm not quitting on God, and I'm staying in my Bible, and I'm going to church, and I'm getting up in the morning, and I'm reading my Bible, and I'm doing my devotions, because that book is my hope! God promised He'd get me through. I'm telling you, you need your Bible because this Bible will keep you safe. And the safety that's in the Bible is hope in the Word of God. Think about Job. It was bereavement that got him. And unfortunately for every person in the room, eventually in your life, you're going to have to deal with bereavement. I hate to say it. Unless a rapture hits today, every person in this room is eventually going to stand at a casket or sit at a funeral home, or stand by a graveside of somebody that you love dearly. You don't get to escape it. You know what you need? You need hope in the Word of God. Why? Because it'll give your heart some help for the issues that come to your heart in life. Jeremiah, the weeping prophet. You know what got him? He tried and tried and tried and tried and tried to get the message through, and they wouldn't listen, wouldn't listen, wouldn't listen, wouldn't listen. It discouraged him. You know what he didn't realize? I don't think he realized God is penning down that man's life story, watching every move he makes, every decision he makes, every message he preaches, and God's writing that stuff down in a book, and I'm still preaching about him today, and it's still in your Bible today, inspired words of God. He saw no converts at all in his entire ministry. You got no evidence that anything good came out of anything Jeremiah was doing, but he stayed in the Bible and kept preaching the messages and kept following God. And what he did is eternal because it's in the Word of God sitting in your lap today. Can you imagine the power of sticking with the book? Even when you don't see a little, I'm not getting anything out of it. Think about Hannah. Talking about discouragement. talk about the fact that you need to have your hope in the Bible, because life will beat you down and that Bible will give you some hope and it'll give you a pickup that you need to keep you going for God. Hannah's sitting there, can't have a baby. And to add insult to injury, she's got this other woman just nagging her and just rubbing it in her face and just beating her down. Just a ruthless, mean, nasty, evil-spirited person. What kind of person watches somebody else's pain, sees their heartbreak, and because of a jealous, envious spirit, because she's the preferred wife, is going to just do everything they can to just wreck that person's emotions? I mean, we've seen it in church, haven't we? Come on. See it in families all the time. She gets discouraged. You know what she needed? Hope in the Word of God. When the preacher came and said, no, you're going to have a child. I mean, you can look at Abraham and Sarah. Just go down through your Bible, all the way through your Bible. You know what you see? You see real people just like you and me, just as emotional as you and me, dealing with the same kind of life issues that you and I deal with. And all the way through there, you find people that need some hope. And we still have people today that need some hope. The preacher was talking to the kids this week. He was talking about, and he did it with tremendous tact and in the proper balance, but he was talking about depression. He's talking about how he's seen kids, because some girlfriend or boyfriend dumped them, get in a bathtub and take a razor and cut all the way up their arm to their elbow. He said, like, meaning business, like cut, like, and laying there, just blood everywhere. A teenage kid killing himself because some girlfriend or boyfriend broke their heart. He's talking about a body you saw hanging in a tree, just barely blowing in the wind, just kind of swinging back there. A kid, because some girlfriend or boyfriend broke their heart. He's talking about kids he's seen put a pistol in their mouth and blow their brains out because a girlfriend or boyfriend broke their heart. It's real. You know what's funny to me? I sit in the back and I watch. And I listen and I pray and I watch and I listen and I pray. You know what's funny to me? When that preacher started talking to a bunch of Christian kids whose preachers and parents got them in a Bible-preaching, Bible-believing church and in a Bible-preaching, Bible-believing camp, when he started talking about depression to a bunch of young people whose whole life is ahead of them, you could feel it settle over the room, and it wasn't just dramatic stories doing it. It was hearts. Our young people are in a mess. Our young people are sad, they're broken, they're discouraged, they're confused, they're frustrated, and they're angry. You know what they need? They need to know that there's a book they can open up and look into. And when they pray over that book and open up that book and look into that book, that God Almighty speaks to them out of the pages of that scripture. And God Almighty can shine some hope into their sad little hearts and tell them, it ain't over yet! I got more plans for you. Don't get so discouraged. You quit on God because you lose hope. If you don't have a Bible, you don't have that hope. By the way, some of you need to realize, especially you young people, you need to realize that what might have broke your heart today is going to be a blessing tomorrow. There's more fish in the sea. And maybe that idiot broke your heart and dumped you or whatever else because God loves you and is keeping you from messing your life up. So move on. Don't give them the pleasure of, oh, they're going to see how much I loved them and I just can't live without them, so I'm going to kill myself. You really want to get them good? Love Jesus and let God bring you a good one. And they'd be like, hey, you miss out. Amen. It doesn't just keep your heart safe from depression, but hope in the Word of God keeps your head safe from dark thoughts. Look at verse 113. I hate vain thoughts, but thy law do I love. You know what you need? You need the Bible. You need the Bible. You need the Bible. You need the Bible. Because I'm telling you, the devil's after your mind. You understand that? The Bible says to gird up the loins of your mind. It says, whatsoever things are good, whatsoever things are honest, of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. You know what the battle is? The battle's for your mind. I'm going to show you this afternoon based on one of the questions and the question and answer, like, do we deal with the devil or don't we? Is it really the devil we're dealing with, or is it God? Because of some things that I've said in the teaching, so I'm going to spell this out for you. This world is geared to get after your mind. It's wired to get after your mind. Your smartphones are wired to read your mind. It knows your age. It knows your gender. It knows your preferences, and it'll start marketing things not just to you specifically, but to people generally in your bracket. And the more you get on that thing, the more it tunes in and kind of focuses directly in on you. That is so demonic. Oh, no, it's not demonic. It's sales. Yeah, well, the love of money is the root of what? It's demonic. It's after your mind. And I'm telling you this morning, hoping the Word of God will strengthen your mind. God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. You got mental illnesses today, not just out in the world. You got mental illnesses sitting in the pews in church. Now, I'm not trying to be a therapist or a psychologist. There's a place for them. But before you get to that level, why can't you get to God? Before you let it get that carried away, why don't you ask God to give you hope in the way you think? The Bible is meant to help you think right. He's trying to brainwash the kids. You're absolutely right. We're trying to brainwash them. And we're sick of you trying to pump a septic field into their heads. We want to brainwash them. There's nothing wrong with washing and getting clean. And we're washed by the water of the Word of God. That's what cleans them up. You better watch out, because dark thoughts will come into your head. And I'm telling you, hoping the Word of God will keep your head safe from all the troubling thoughts. The whatabouts and the what ifs. Keeps your head safe from twisted thoughts. You realize how perverse a day you live in? You live in a wicked day. You live in a day so perverse that you can't even hardly say anything without people taking it and thinking it has some kind of a immoral or a perverted joke to it all the time. I'm so sick of it. I can't take it anymore. I'm just tired of it. That's not what I was saying, you creep. Ooh. Oh, yeah, you're real funny. It's everything's about that 24/7. What is wrong with your perverted mind when everything has always got some kind of a perverted joke about it? Listen to me. The Bible says that homosexuality is a sin, and the Bible says fools make a mock at sin. I don't think it's funny to joke about being a homosexual. I don't think it's funny to joke about drugs. I don't think it's funny to joke about alcohol. I don't think it's funny to joke about fornication. The stuff is wrong. And something's wrong with you when you find those kind of jokes funny. Why does it get so quiet sometimes? Why does everybody get like this? I never said I hate homosexuals or fornicators or drug addicts or alcoholics. You know, I don't know where you get that mindset. Just because I'm preaching, people get that mindset with me. That's not what I said. That's not even how I feel. I want to win them to Christ. That's what I want to do. I want to see them saved. I want to see them washed and sanctified and justified in the name of Jesus Christ and by the precious blood of Jesus. He died for sinners. What I'm trying to tell you is that in church, among people that want to walk with God, among people that want to be safe, among people that don't want to shipwreck and destroy their lives, that stuff ain't funny. And then twisted thoughts are always coming after you, and what you need is the Word of God to clean up your mind. It is heartbreaking to me to wrap my mind around the concept that 10, 11, 12, and 13-year-old kids know about things that some adults haven't even heard of yet. Or you wouldn't have known until you were 18 or 19 or 20 years old, and you have to go looking for it back in our day. And now it's just in their face, 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 constantly. It is heartbreaking to me. And you watch what happens. You watch what happens in your generation. We'll talk about it this afternoon. You watch what happens in your country. You watch how many people are killing themselves, and how many people are depressed, and how many people are mentally ill, and how much worse and worse and worse it gets. You know why? Because there's no hope in the Bible anymore. I am telling you that some of you need that book so bad this morning. The only way you're ever going to get your mind cleaned up, the only way you're ever going to get your thoughts under control, the only way you're ever going to be able to stop the devil from dragging you down that pit of despair and rubbing in your face that it just never works out and nothing ever goes right for me, and I might as well just kill myself. The only hope you've got is the Bible. Because the rest of this world ain't geared to help you out at all. Right. And life ain't geared to help you out at all. But God wants you to have some joy in your heart. Amen. He wants you safe from depression. He wants you to get through the pains and the ups and the downs. I'm not saying anybody should stand at a funeral and be like, oh, I'm just good because I got the grace of God. Look at me. I'm so spiritual. I'm not even grieving over my loved one. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying you ought to grieve over your loved one. And I don't buy it when I get around Christians like that. Oh, I don't know, brother. I just, you know, God's good. God's sovereign. And, you know, the Lord knew. So I'm not going to grieve. Like, okay, whatever. You ain't Ezekiel. Okay? Don't give me that. I'm not saying you shouldn't have emotions. That's not what I'm saying. It's actually healthy to have emotions. Did you know that? Don't tell anybody I said this. It'll ruin my reputation. It's healthy to cry. I'm a girl dad. You know what I've had to learn? Sometimes it's good for them to cry and the world's not ending because they're crying. They just need a hug. What I'm talking about is not that. You have human emotions. Those are good. My point is, when you are crying, is there any hope? When you do stand at the graveside, or you do get bad news from the doctor, or you do have a financial reversal, or kid does break your heart, do you have hope in the Bible? When you fail, when you struggle, when you realize, Lord, I've been asking for help with my mind and help with my mind and help with my mind and I'm not getting anywhere, do you have hope in the Word of God? Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. That Bible is your hope. Number two, it'll keep you safe emotionally. Number two, the holding of the Word of God is your hope. It keeps you safe. Look at verse 115. Depart from me, evildoers, for I will keep the commandments of my God. Now watch verse 16. Here's what's interesting. If you watch the wording, he's talking to God. He says, uphold me according unto thy word, that I may live, and let me not be ashamed of my hope. Hold thou me up, and I shall be safe, and I will have respect unto thy statutes continually. You know what keeps you safe? Emotionally, mentally, the hope of the Word of God. You know what keeps you safe? Spiritually, to keep you from falling out, it's the holding of the Word of God. I am so tired of seeing Christians in church one year and gone the next. This is exactly why. Please hear me. Now you know why I never have pressured you to do more than you want to do. I mean financially, I've never pressured you to give more than you want to give between you and God. I'm talking church attendance. I've never pressured you to be here more than you want to be here. I'm talking soul winning. I've never pressured you to witness more than you want to witness. And I've always got on people and from the pulpit because I haven't had to do it personally yet. Because I would just rather give the vaccination than try to get it under control once it kind of breaks out. You understand what I'm saying? I just said, oh no, YouTube's going to get me. I said vaccination. There we go. This one may not be up. You may have to go to sermon audio to hear it. And then all the other people, oh, I can't believe he said, I don't care where you're at on the whole issue. Let's just get the point, right? Okay, are we cool? Everybody good? The oxygen just went right out of the room, you know. I would rather that than let it break out. Don't be getting on other people. Where were you? How come you don't come back on Wednesday nights? What are you, jealous? I thought you wanted to come. Leave them alone if they don't come back. How come you only show up every other week? I'd rather you come every other week and keep coming here. You know what's going to happen? You know, if you're coming for the right reason when you come, you know what's going to happen? We're going to grow on you. And I'd rather you be doing it because of you and God. rather than some kind of pressure that you can't live up to, and then we have a miserable church full of a bunch of grouchy Christians. I'd rather have 30 people here on a Sunday night or a Wednesday night. And listen, man, what a blessing it's been to see how many are coming. You guys, there was 30 people gone at camp, and they said pretty much everybody that's normally here was still here. The building looked pretty good Wednesday night. Wow, what a blessing that is. I don't want God to try me on this. You understand what I'm saying? But really, I've always said, and I still feel this way, I'd rather have 30 people here that want to be here, that are having fun, that have a good, clean spirit and great fellowship, than to have 130 people here with snarkiness and rudeness and criticism and gossip and in each other's business and, you know, nasty, sarcastic spirit to each other and just this dry type can't preach because it's just so tense in the room all the time. You can have that stuff. You know what I want? I want to serve God, and I want to serve God with joy, and I want to stay in it and be faithful. I really, 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 if you got one prayer for me, if there's only one prayer, and I hope you got more than one because I've given you other prayer requests, and I think you've been doing it. Thank you. But if you got one prayer, I want to stay faithful. I don't want the condemnation of the devil, and I don't want the snare of the devil. And those are two separate things we can preach on and talk about another day, but I don't want either of them. I want to stay faithful. I would love to be, if I get to be an old man, and there's no promise I will be, I would love to get to be an old man, still uphold, held on to by the Word of God. This is the point of that wording, folks. It's not you that's holding on to the Bible. You know what you did? You carried your Bible in here. Luke's holding his Bible in his lap right now. You see me, I'm holding the Bible. But you know what the real spirit, the real power of this book is? The real power in the Bible is not holding the Bible. It's when the Bible's holding you. That's what you need. That's what you need from your Bible. Parents, get your Bible into your kids. Please. Listen, we do our very best. We have a Sunday school teachers meeting this afternoon after the afternoon service. I forgot that in the announcements. We do our very best in this church to get the Bible into those kids. It is a top priority for me. It starts in our nurseries. If God ever gives us more facilities, we've already, Miss Grace and I have already been discussing how we'd like to kind of lay some things out and what we'd like to do with the kids, like a little the infant deal and then a kind of a little preschool age deal in the nurseries before they go into Sunday schools, and literally like a program for the preschool age to make it fun, but to be, you know, a little preschool, school, Bible school, pre-Bible school. Yeah, I got a phenomenal asset. She was actually the manager of a daycare for a while. She set this thing up. She exceeds the state regulations for a daycare. Great setup, because it starts there. I think at the judgment seat of Christ, if all I can talk about is the people that were established, you know, the middle-aged crowd and over, God's going to say, what was your motive? How about the ones that can't support the church financially? How about getting the hearts of the next generation? See, it's important to me to get the Bible in them, because I'm telling you what will keep them in is the Bible. That's all that will keep them in. You ever been to church where you feel like you don't get fed? Was that real quick time out? Sometimes that's you. Okay, back in. Sometimes that's because the Bible ain't being preached. You know what keeps you in? You know what keeps people in for the right reason? That book. You need to get a hold of the fact that it's the Bible. I'm trying to just give you this concept. You got to understand this concept. That Bible will hold you up. That's why you need to be putting it in. That's why you need to be memorizing Scripture. My dad, and listen, I'm not saying that you got to turn into Nazis and all this stuff, but my dad was tough on us when we were a little boy. He would have us stand there. We'd do family devotions every night, and we would do Scripture memorization, and we would quote those Scripture verses before we went to bed. And God bless that man and his heart. We one day were real tired, and it was like non-negotiable. We were always doing family devotions and a pledge to the American flag and a pledge to the Christian flag and a pledge to the Bible and Scripture verses and prayer time and read a devotional passage. And we just started. We were standing there quoting our verses, and we were so tired, we started crying. And my dad said, oh, my goodness, you guys. I'll never forget that. I can still see him. It's one of my earliest memories. I cannot have been that old. He put his head down and said, oh, my goodness, you guys. God bless him. He said, get in bed. We're like, oh yes, thank you, Jesus. The oppressive devotions are off our back. Get the concept? Don't turn it into an oppressive environment. But understand how grateful I am to my dad for getting the Bible into me. You guys remember back in the day, I hope this isn't too plain for you. You guys remember back in the day, like, if you had to look at, if you wanted to go find some illicit pictures, you had to go find magazines to do it. It wasn't like right here in their hand. You guys remember that? Yeah, I'm making a subtle point to you, by the way, Mom and Dad. You know, checking out the store at Meijer and risque pictures in the magazines, you know. I was a little kid. My dad would slap me when we go through there. He'd say, let thine eyes look right on and thine eyelids look straight before thee, ponder the path of thy feet. See, I just quoted that to you. I never set out to memorize that verse. I heard it and 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 heard it by a young dad who loved his little boy and was trying to get the Bible in his boy. You know what I could never do in my whole life? I could never escape that book. That thing hold me up, upheld me. See the verse? It upheld me. I got a picture of a mother dog carrying her puppies by the scruff of the neck. If you guys came to the open house and you were looking at the pictures, you might have noticed a picture there of me holding Sophia. And if you pay attention to detail when you look at the picture, you know, if I mentioned to you I'm obsessed with safety? You guys, I mentioned that to you? If you look at the picture, you'll see how I was holding her. I wouldn't just grab her. They wear those onesies back in the day. Remember those little zip-up onesies, Mom and Dad? I didn't just grab that onesie and pick her up. I grabbed that onesie this way, and I didn't know nothing about grips or jiu-jitsu or nothing back then, but I was real obsessed with not dropping them. And I wrap it like that, if you saw the picture. And then I pick them up like this, and she was braced on my forearm, and I was looking at her like that. And they'd be all squirming, but I had that thing wrapped real tight. You know why? I didn't want to drop my kid. That's a picture I have of the Bible. I think the Bible is uphold thou me. How? According to thy word. Hey, Daddy, would you hold me up? And I feel like he reaches down and he grabs my onesie and he twists it like that and he picks me up and he props me on that arm. And you know what that thing is? That thing is a King James Bible. And he lets me see his face and he smiles at me. And I feel happy when I know that Bible's holding me. You see, what we're trying to do in our Sunday schools is get the Bible into them. From the time they enter Sunday school to the time they go to the youth group, we've done our best to take them through the highlights of the Bible, start to finish, Genesis to Revelation. Not every chapter and every verse, but through all the stories and all the highlights of the Bible three times. If you put your kids in Sunday school in this church, my commitment to you as a pastor is the best I can. We're going to get as much Bible into them as we can and get them as familiar with that Bible and the stories of that Bible and get that stuff in their heads and get that stuff in their hearts and get that stuff in their minds, because I'm telling you, the only hope they got is that Bible holding them up. And it'll hold them up. I'll tell you this much, if they get out there in the lost world and they're out there in the party world and they're sitting around on Friday night and they're getting drunk and they're hanging out with the wrong kind of people, them verses will pop up in their mind, boy. It haunts them. Get them in church. And get the Bible in you. Because that Bible is your safeguard. It keeps your foot from slipping. You know what else it does? It keeps your faith from slacking. In verse 116, he says, that I may live and let me not be ashamed of my hope. Let me not be ashamed of my hope. You know what the devil wants to do? The devil wants to make some of you ashamed. You went around talking about God and talking about all the great things God's doing, all the great things God's going to do, and you tell him about how saved you are and how much you love the Lord and how the Lord's delivered you out of sin. And what he wants to do is drag you back down. He wants to pull you back under, to make you a shame in the eyes of the world and a shame before God. Oh yeah, you were a Christian. You were going to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. Oh, you were a Bible thumper. Look at you. And now you're right back off where you used to be. That's what he wants to do. He wants to make a spectacle of you to all the people you've witnessed to. He wants to make a spectacle to you and your family that's watching you. You know what will keep you in there? The Bible will keep you in there. That's what will keep you in there. Nothing else. You know what the Bible does? It separates you from evildoers. Look at verse 115. Depart from me, evildoers, for I will keep the commandments of my God. Hey, how about this? Some of you guys that are more recently saved, or some of you young people, you know, as you get older and you're a teenager and whatnot, and your friends invite you to the party. Sure, I'll come to the party. Just walk into the party with a big old King James Bible under your arm. Thanks for inviting me. You're going to find out they'll separate from you. You don't have to separate from them. How do I separate from my lost friends? Just bring your Bible to the party. I thought you were accepting, man. I thought we were buddies. I thought everything was cool. I thought you loved me. No, I'm happy to come, but I'm just going to bring my Bible over to a Bible study. Here, man, try this. Wait a second. What's the Bible say about that? Yeah, no, I'm not trying that. You'll find out how quickly they get away from you. Young people, listen to me for a minute. Listen to me for a minute. Just because you're in church or just because you're at Christian youth camp does not mean that everybody that's there wants to serve God. And here's what will happen, because you got a preacher that's sitting back and he's watching, trying to watch everything best I can. And I'm looking and I'm watching from a distance. And I watch the ones I know are little troublemakers. And I'll see who they gravitate towards. Sometimes they gravitate to you because you're a punk and they're a punk. Because birds of a feather flock together. It's a spirit thing. It's a spirit thing. You don't even know it's happening. It's just, how did that person all the way over there find that person all the way over there when they didn't even know each other? Yeah. See, you got to see it from my perspective. It's wild to watch, man. It's wild. I mean, I know maybe a little bit more about who's around than you might think I know. Maybe have a little bit more history than you might think I have. Might have one or two facts or experiences that I'm not sharing. And I'm thinking, like, I know this deal and I know that deal. And now, how did they find each other? It's because birds of a feather flock together. Sometimes that's the issue. You know what it is other times? Other times it's that you're new. And you love God. And you want to do right. And so the devil knows exactly who to send your way. The cool kid. The popular kid. And they latch onto you like a leech. Because they're trying to suck the blood out of you. And they start running their mouth, trying to sow discord to cause problems. And there isn't even a problem there. It's a little liar with the wrong spirit trying to create something that doesn't exist. Yeah. You know what you better have? You better have a solid understanding of the Word of God to keep you safe. That Bible holds you up, because if you don't have that Bible, we'll look at it this afternoon. The battle you're in is so real. The devils are going to get you. Is it Satan or not? I don't know, but I know this much. I'll show you this afternoon. It's devils, and they will get you. Here's your safety. Now, they're saying this, that, and the other thing. Let them talk. Are you going to do something about it? I'd do something about it if there was any validity to what's being said. When there's no validity to what's being said, charity suffereth long and is kind. How are you, brother? Good to see you. Nice to see you. Keep moving along. Next, nice to see you. Good to see you. Keep moving along. You know what they said about you? Maybe more than you know. This book holds me up. Nope. Bible says not to render evil for evil, so I'm not responding to it. They don't like you. You know, somebody told, it's nobody that goes to our church at all. Somebody told me, well, so-and-so asked this question. They said, why in the world is everybody going to his church? Don't they know he's not even Baptist? What's your response? Have a nice day. God bless you. Good to see you. Oh, I'm glad you're here. It's very nice to see you. Thank you so much. Yeah, why? Because the Bible says I'm supposed to be kind. No, I'm not supposed to render evil for evil. I'll tell you, if people come to this church, they come to this church for one reason. This is what we're offering. This is the forte of what we're doing here. This is the foundation. I mean, we want to do more, right? Amen. We want to do more. But this is what this thing's about. That's why they're coming here. You think it's me? You think it's me? If there is anything good in me, anything enabling me to pastor people, it is not Mike Reagan doing it. It's this book and the Spirit of God. That's what we're here for. And that's what will hold us up. When the Bible's not number one anymore, we definitely, 100%, we will fall and we will fall apart. You understand that? We'll fall apart. My last thought, and I'll get you out of here quick. The honor of the Word of God. What keeps you safe is the hope of the Word of God, the holding of the Word of God, and the honor of the Word of God. Look at verse 118. Thou hast trodden down all them that err from thy statutes, for their deceit is falsehood. Thou puttest away all the wicked of the earth like dross. Therefore, I love thy testimony. You know what this book is? It's so powerful that God can and does and will take care of all that's wicked and all that's wrong eventually. You know what gives me great hope and heals my heart? You know what holds me in there faithfully and gets me to keep going for God? It's the fact that all the filthiness going on in the world, all the wickedness going on in the world, no matter who winds up in office, I don't care who winds up in office next. You don't care about our country? It's not what I said. In context, what I'm saying is, through spiritual eyes, it doesn't matter what happens. I'm going to tell you this afternoon where this thing is going, and there's no stopping it. But my hope and my help and my joy and my honor is the Word of God, because God will fix it all up when He's ready. So what I'm living for is the God that wrote this book that's going to back up what He said. And He said He's going to reign as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He said He's going to rule Him with a rod of iron. He said peace is going to come. He said justice is going to come. And He's going to do it. And so between here and there, I'm His and He's mine. Praise the Lord. I'm going to honor that book. Go with me to Isaiah chapter 66, please, and we'll close here. Isaiah chapter 66. Turn to your right. Just a couple of books. I want you to see a very powerful verse. Isaiah 66, two verses. Verse 1. Thus saith the Lord, the heaven is my throne, and the earth is my footstool. How big is He? How big is He? You study the size of outer space? I ain't sitting there with His feet propped up on the earth. What a God, man. Where is the house that ye build unto me? Where is the place of my rest? For all those things hath mine hand made. And all those things have been, saith the Lord. I've seen them. I've seen them build houses. I've seen them tear them down. I've seen them build palaces. I've seen them pour billions and billions of dollars into buildings and denominations and land and property. And I've seen it all. It's all come and it's all gone. It's all risen. It's all fallen. What is all that stuff to me? God's impressed with you cheerfully giving. God loveth a cheerful giver, but God's not impressed with your bank account. It means nothing to Him. I said to one preacher, I said, man, we're going to be stretching pretty thin to do this. He's like, yeah, I understand your concern. God's broke. I said, you got me, man. Touche. He said, God tell you to do it? I said, yep. Okay. Then God's going to pay for it. Either that or something else. What a God. Now watch this. God said, all that stuff's nothing to me. He said, you want me to look at you? But to this man will I look. Even to him that is poor and of a contrite spirit and trembleth at my word. I'll protect the man. I'll take care of the man. I'll forgive the man, I'll strengthen the man, I'll uphold the man, I'll give the man hope, I'll give the man what he needs, who will honor my word. And when he sees what I says and what he's done, what I say to do that he hasn't done, the fear of God strikes into his soul. And he bows his knee to that book and says, God, you're right and I'm wrong. I need your Bible. That Bible will keep you safe. Let's stand to our feet this morning with our heads bowed and our eyes closed.